My name is Frances. Many of you think you know me. I'm not sure you do. I'm kind of famous, although it's debatable about why. You see, I'm not famous like movie star famous. I don't have nice houses. I'm not dating a model. I don't drive cars. I'm not in the news every week. Some people think I'm famous because of all the people that followed me, all the communities that bear my name. Maybe. Some people think I'm famous because of what I did with the poor. It's kind of like the opposite sort of famous from movie star famous. You know Mother Teresa because she was alive in this time. She did some of the same things I did with people who were really poor, only I did it a really long time ago. And that's something that makes you famous because people don't really get it. And so there's a lot of curiosity about it. How could they do that? And then there's also that kind of thing where they say, "Ugh, I'm glad you're doing it and not me." So sometimes you get kind of famous because of that. The thing is, I think a lot of people think they know me, and I'm here today because I want you to know the real me, not just all the hyped up stories about me. I was born in Italy, in 1181, in a place called Assisi. My name when I was born was Giovanni Francesco de Bernardone. That's a mouthful. My parents, though, first started calling me Frenchy, and then Francesco, and then finally Francis. And the story in our family about that is that my dad loved things that were French, which is a good thing because my mom was French. So I was born in a time that was called the Middle Ages. And one of the things that you probably know about the Middle Ages is something called the Crusades. They were battles that were fought by Christians. Christian people who went out and killed Muslims and Jews and even other Christians who didn't believe the right kinds of things. Well, I'm telling you that because I couldn't wait to grow up and be old enough to get on my horse, take my sword, and join in the battles. And I know that might surprise you, but let me tell you about how it was in that time. The richest people were called nobles, and they controlled everything. They controlled the land, they controlled the people, they controlled the governments, they controlled the money. And they could make other people nobles as well. I was born into a family that was rich, but not rich enough to be noble. So all I wanted as I was growing up was to do something so special that I could be a noble. And so I thought the way to do that was by fighting in the Crusades, by fighting in the battles. So off I went to fight and to make a name for myself. Only I got injured in the battle, and then I got captured. And I was in captivity for almost a year. My dad ended up having to pay a lot of money to get me released. So I went back home, I got well, and I couldn't wait for the day that I could get back on that horse and go join the battle again. So I did. As I was riding out of town to join the battle again, I saw a beggar. Now, normally I didn't notice beggars because they were all over, and they weren't my concern. My concern was with becoming a noble. But this particular beggar caught my eye, and I remember thinking as I rode by very quickly, I remember thinking, poor soul, I am glad that's not me. And then I rode on. And partway outside of town on my journey, for the first time, God spoke to me. And this is what God said, where are you going? And I said, I'm going to fight the battle. And God said to me, why are you serving the nobles? They are just the servants. Why are you not serving me? That made sense to me. And I couldn't stop thinking about it, and so eventually I turned around. I rode back into town. I went right to that beggar, and I got off my horse, and I changed coats with him. His coat was smelly and dirty and full of holes, and mine was the most beautiful thing you could have seen. When I put his coat on, I knew it was the right thing. And then I had to move back home, and this is when I got into a lot of trouble. Think twice before you move back home. My father made all of his money by selling beautiful fabrics. There were fabrics of every kind of feeling, every kind of color. They beat me, and then they let me go, and I knew I needed to leave town, and so I did. And I lived outside of town, away from everyone. I lived in an old, abandoned, crumbling little stone church. And I had never been happier in my life. And then people started coming out and wanting to live with me. They saw how happy I was. They saw that I sang a lot, that I was free, that I could just enjoy every single day. And so they wanted to stay. Here's something I need to explain to you. I didn't think being poor was any great thing. I mean, I had nothing. I had to beg for all of my food. But here's what I wanted to do. I wanted to live like Jesus had lived. And I knew from the stories that Jesus didn't have a house, didn't have a job, went from home to home asking for food. But what Jesus wanted to do and did all of his life was he just loved people and healed people. And that's what I wanted to do. That's what I wanted to focus on. But here's the thing. I was very different. These days you would call me radical. And here's why. I didn't believe the same things about Jesus that the church believed and taught. I didn't believe that Jesus came in order to rescue us or save us in some way for all the terrible things we had done. I didn't believe that. I believed that even if no one had ever done anything wrong, Jesus still would have come to earth. Because Jesus wanted to show us the love and joy of God. And that's what Jesus came to do. But you know what they say, if you love people, it really irks those in power, and it really did irk those in power. Because the church was teaching that Jesus only came in order to pay the punishment, and so they got upset. I was so happy. And the people who were following me were so happy. And we were happy because we weren't serving a God that we thought was a meanie God. We were serving a God that we thought was loving and joyful and full of life. And so what most people don't know is there was a whole plan that was put into place. Here's what it was. The people that had the money and the people that were in the church felt very threatened by me. They didn't want people to take me seriously. So they made up these stories about how I could speak animal languages. So all the pictures that were ever drawn of me over the years, most of them are pictures with me surrounded by animals. It was a way to make me look cute and a little crazy. And if people thought I was a little crazy, then they wouldn't take me as seriously because, oh, you know, Francis, he's sort of lost his mind. That was done by people in power. Let me explain it another way. Remember, I talked about my dad and how my dad sold all this amazing fabric. Well, imagine if people started being happy without the best fabric and the nicest clothes and needing to be the most important person in town. If people were happy with nothing, then they would stop buying the fabric. And then what would happen? My dad would go out of business. He would become poor. And you know, that's how it is with rich people. Rich people depend on other people wanting what they have in order to keep being rich. And so they surrounded me with animals and said I talked to the birds, to the cats, to the dogs, that I spoke their language. I never did. I simply appreciated their being the kind of animal they were. Because here's the thing. The thing that Jesus knew about God and what I believed about God was that everything was a gift from God. And we rarely take the time to think about that. Have you ever just sat next to a flower and looked at the flower and said, "Thank you, flower, for being flower." Or a tree, or the grass, or your cat, "Thank you for being cat." Or the dog with the totally gross, slimy tennis ball in its mouth, "Thank you for being dog." That's really what life was supposed to be, and that's what my followers were attracted to, was seeing the gift, all the gifts that God has given us, and just enjoying it. So yes, we were happy, we were free, we enjoyed the gifts. There's one more thing. There are a lot of people in your country who don't like me. And they don't like me because they think that I'm trying to make them feel guilty. Now, I don't know how I can do that, but a lot of them do feel guilty and they think I'm trying to make them feel that way. And they're people who don't want to give up everything. They don't want to be poor. But the people who think that have missed something. And here's what they've missed. Again, it isn't that I think being poor is better than being anything else. I became poor because I was being prevented from loving God because I wanted so much to be noble. I had to give up that thing that was keeping me from loving God and enjoying God. So for you, it might be something different. Maybe you have a friend that keeps you from God. Maybe you are married to someone who keeps you from God. Maybe you have a job that keeps you from God. Maybe you have a fear that is so strong that it keeps you from God. Whatever it is that might keep you from God, that's the thing that you might need to give up in order to be free and joyful and receive and live in love. It's something to think about. And may we all remember and cherish all of the living creatures that God has given to us in order to enjoy day by day. Amen.